from WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. On this Thursday, March 3rd, 2016, we've got a hot hour in store for all of our listeners out there. A great show as we recap what took place last night during the Michigan State men's basketball game. Is Bryn Forbes good or what, folks? I mean, just a hot shooter. Arguably the best shooter in Michigan State men's basketball history. The Cat had 11 of them last night. I kid you not. We won't talk about Bryn's historic night out at Rutgers. Rutgers, a lowly team, but they made things interesting by halftime, at least, folks. So we'll recap that. We'll also give you guys a brief bracketology breakdown as March rolls along. Gotta love March Madness. Also, the Detroit Tigers in action. Spring training down in Florida. We'll give you an update on the Tigers. We'll be inviting a good friend of the show, motivational speaker and author DeAndre Carter. He'll give us an update on what he's been up to and also his thoughts on the sporting world. You don't want to miss that. And during the back end of the show, we'll hit you with Throwback Thursday, what exactly happened on this particular date in sports history. And we invite current sports production assistant Jason Ruff to the show with 2 minutes for roughing. Be a part of today's show by calling 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. But hey, you know what's next, baby. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners again for this March 3rd. All right, we start with the Michigan State men's basketball team. Michigan State topped Rutgers 97-66 last night in New Jersey. The Spartans struggled early in the first half, carrying a slim 2-point lead into halftime. However, the blazing hot shooting of Bryn Forbes proved to be too much to handle for the Scarlet Knights. Forbes hit a Big Ten record. Count them. 11 three-pointers in the contest on his way to a career-high 33 points. The Spartans close out the regular season Saturday afternoon at home against Ohio State. Senior night should be an emotional one for Forbes, Valentine, and Costello. All right, Michigan and Iowa. Women's basketball playing today in the first round of the Women's Big Ten Basketball Tourney in Indianapolis. The winner of the contest will play top-seeded Maryland tomorrow at noon. Again, we will be giving updates throughout the show. And as of right now, it is halftime. Michigan is down 52-42. Stay posted for that. Waverly upset CAAC Red Champion DeWitt last night in girls high school basketball postseason action, winning 48-43 in OT. Mason defeated Okemos 50-31. Eden Rapids topping Stockbridge 61-34, and Williamston taking down Lansing Catholic 64-43. I'll give a more extensive rundown of what took place last night in girls high school hoop action as the show rolls along. The Detroit Red Wings, they were beaten at the Joe last night by their former division rival, the Chicago Blackhawks, by a score of 5-2.
Carabinen fed it across, touchback to Seabrook, and a drive. He scores! Gives it on to Seabrook. Side of the net, Kane feeds one, scores! Panarin! The stray stick, onside play, and it's Kane moving in. Shoots, he scores! Kane! Kane holds, let it across, score! Panarin! And it is 5-1, his second of the game.
NHL Rookie of the Year candidate, Artemi Panarin, had 2 goals on the night. The Wings will have a chance to avenge their loss this Sunday in the Chi. That's right, in Chicago. When Jim Harbaugh, at first base as the first base coach, the Tigers won their Grapefruit League game against the Pittsburgh Pirates 10-3. The Tigers picked up 10 runs on 10 hits and only one error, while only allowing 6 hits for 3 runs. The Tigers also played the New York Yankees yesterday. but didn't have much success as they fell 10-9. That is a lot of runs scored. Detroit is currently playing the Atlanta Braves right about now, literally right now. It's 1:05. That's when the first pitch is set. We'll give you an update throughout the show on that one as well. The Detroit Pistons fell to the San Antonio Spurs last night, 97-81, in front of a national TV audience on ESPN. The Pistons played the Spurs close last night in the first half, yet the offense just sputtered away in a rough second half. Tobias Harris and Marcus Morris led the scoring for the Pistons with 16 points each. As Kobe Bryant's farewell tour rolled through Denver, the NBA star offered up some sage advice to Super Bowl-winning quarterback Peyton Manning, who was still thinking about retirement. Kobe said this, quote, "You can't make these decisions on outside influences or successes or failures. It's a very personal decision, very emotional decision, so you have to make that from within. You can't cheat the game." And last but not least, some sad news coming out of the NBA world. Oklahoma City Thunder minority owner and energy pioneer Aubrey McClendon passed away in a fatal car wreck yesterday. His death came just a day after a federal jury had indicted him with charges of conspiring to rig bids for the purchase of oil and natural gas leases. McClendon was known for being instrumental in the franchise's move to Oklahoma City in 2008. Again, Aubrey McClendon passing away in a car wreck yesterday. Those are your current sports quick hit headliners. Our phone lines are open, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Hey, you, call in. You know you want to be a part of the show. Get something off your sports noggin', all right? You can also go to facebook.com/currentsports. Leave a comment there. I will read it live here on our airwaves, or even tweet me at Al Martin, WKAR, or at least follow me, all right? Well, without further ado, let's start the show.
Alvin Ellis finds Forbes in transition, and the three is good.
Themselves a target in there.
Forbes for three, and Bryn Forbes. Now Forbes to three. He got a look, and he made Rutgers pay.
The Badgers playing very, very well at the moment.
Here's Forbes got open. What a look for three, and he rattles it home.
It's in the first half, 67% shooting. They average 37%
to a lead, but Rutgers back within six. Here's Forbes launching and hitting the three.
It's only a highlight if it goes in, Kevin.
Forbes the three.
If not, it's going to hit you in the ear.
Here's Forbes right off the bench and right back in the scoring column from three. Here he is again, looking for number 10. Forbes pops up the three. Up number 11 for Bryn Forbes. A new career high, 33 points.
And that is how we start this afternoon's current sports. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the show, ladies and gents, boys and girls. I'm your host, Al Martin. Happy, happy Thursday, March 3rd, 2016. It's Friday Eve. I know you can sniff the weekend, right? It's almost there. You are almost there, okay? Hang in there. Hang in there. Well, we hope to take the edge off of your Thursday afternoon with a fun-filled hour here on the show. What you just heard was, of course, Bryn Forbes just absolutely losing his mind on the hardwood against Rutgers. I mean, how fun was that to watch? How fun is it to watch Bryn Forbes shoot the basketball? I think he's clearly, there's no one even close, clearly the best shooter in college basketball right now. Makes it look so easy. Textbook stroke, elbow in, follow through, and then give a little shimmy to the crowd. He was having fun last night. Brent Forbes, man. Wow. I mean, he was 11 of 18 from the floor. And get this, 11 of 16 from the three-point line. So there were only two shots that he took that weren't behind the arc. How impressive is that? 33 points for Brent Forbes. You know, and I tweeted last night watching his performance when he got to number 11. I really thought he could have reached at least 15. If Ty would have left him in, if this game wasn't a blowout and if this game was really close and Forbes would have upped his minutes, he certainly could have got to 15, maybe even more. I mean, really unbelievable stuff. A Big Ten record, 11 three-pointers for Brent Forbes. So salute to Forbes, because I tell you what, even though Michigan State pulled out this game and pulled it out quite handily, 97-66, your final last night, ladies and gents. But at the half, Michigan State only had a 2-point lead. It was 43-41 at the half, and it had many Spartan fans out there chomping on those fingernails. If it wasn't for yet another Brent Forbes three, Michigan State would have been down by one going into the half. Crazy, right? And it's March. It's March 3rd to be exact. Again, March 3rd. March Madness, folks. If I'm a Spartan fan, I would be a little bit nervous, a little bit weary that Michigan State played Rutgers, of all teams. This is a squad that entered last night's competition 0-16 in conference, folks. Rutgers, not a good team. Not a good team. Actually, the Scarlet Knights have now lost 32 straight conference games. 32 straight games in the Big Ten, dating back to last year. Oh, that just made me sick reading that. This isn't a good team. But yet, the Spartans were having trouble in the first half. Why? Well, for me, it's always been mental with Tom Izzo's squad. It's always mental. Just mentally, they didn't look in tune to start this one. And folks, again, it's March. I don't know how many times I can say that. This is the time of the year where one or two mental mistakes can cost you a chance at an NCAA national championship. And that's exactly, we all know, that's exactly what Tom Izzo and this squad is gunning for. So if I'm looking at this game, yeah, Michigan State 97-66, that was supposed to happen. That was supposed to happen last night. But the way this team started the game, you have to wonder if Michigan State is playing anyone other than Rutgers, whether or not, if it's tourney time, and something like this rears its ugly head, Michigan State comes out, you know, not in tune mentally, slacking off to start, whether or not a team can nip the Spartans and end a national championship dream. That's what I would be wary of, because honestly, if it wasn't for Brent Forbes, you know, just imagine if Michigan State comes out with that energy that they came out with Rutgers in that first half, and they're playing a much better team than Rutgers, and Brent Forbes isn't shooting that hot. Oh my goodness. Hide your kids, hide your wife. That's scary. That's scary. Michigan State could really be eliminated if they aren't in tune from the very start. And I say this all the time. It's all mental with the squad, because from top to bottom, they certainly have the talent to go all the way. There is no deeper team in all of men's college basketball than the Michigan State Spartans. Heck, they have a National Player of the Year candidate in Denzel Valentine. His former high school teammate from right here in Lansing, Brent Forbes, is the best shooter in all of college basketball. They've got some senior moxie down low when you look at what Matt Costello is doing. He had a stellar game last night as well. 10 points, 15 rebounds, matching a career high in rebounds for Matt Costello. 4 of 9 from the field. And then you throw in the mix guys like Aaron Harris, who had 15 last night. Deontay Davis, who's always a force. Gavin Schilling gave you a little something-something last night. Not in the points department, but rebounds and defense. Marvin Clark Jr., 10 points for him. This team is so deep. How about Alvin Ellis, the third, getting up and showing some springs last night? There's no deeper team in men's college basketball. But mentally, when they are not there to start the game, you know, you just kind of just say, oh, I don't know about the Spartans, man. I don't know. You know, and anybody can be beaten. It's March. Anybody can be beaten on any day. Okay, this is a team that wouldn't be surprised can go all the way. And this is a team that wouldn't be surprised maybe loses in the second round of the NCAA tournament. You just never know. You just never know. And, you know, you ask the question, why? Why wasn't this team there to start the first half? And I want to read a brief article here. This is coming from Joe Rexroad of the Detroit Free Press. He does a great job. Of course, Joe is a friend of the show. It's always great having him on. But he wrote an interesting article concerning the mindset entering that game against Rutgers last night. I just want to read a brief stint of it here. Quote, MSU coach Tom Izzo said his assistant coaches told him he should address that Indiana won the Big Ten championship with his team. And that made Izzo think back to when then-senior Derek Nix was heartbroken on senior day back in 2013 to learn that Indiana had won at Michigan, costing the Spartans a share of that regular season championship. Izzo, recalling of that sluggish 71-61 win over Northwestern, quote, I told our announcers, whenever that game finished, don't announce it. Well, Nix had a buddy in the stands with my favorite topic, the social media. I love how he calls it, the social media. Then he goes on to say, and so, as Nix was walking into the first timeout, the guy told him Michigan lost. So he was crushed, and we almost got beat that day. So I tried to address it earlier. Let's not make this, we didn't deserve to win the Big Ten. Indiana deserved to win the Big Ten championship. We fought back, but either with a couple of injuries or a couple of bad coaching decisions at the end of the Wisconsin game or whatever, we did not deserve to win it. So don't feel bad about it. Just go out and let's work for the next goal. The problem is, it is easy to say as a coach because I've got another year. MSU seniors Denzel Valentine, Matt Costello, Brent Forbes, and Colby Wolleman don't. And Valentine admitted that the Tuesday result may have had some kind of lingering effect on Wednesday. End quote. Again, that's coming directly from the Detroit Free Press, Joe Rexroad's article entitled MSU's Poor First Half, Partly Due to Big Ten Blues. And I don't know. I don't know if I'm buying that 100%. Sure. Yeah. You know, Michigan State certainly could have won a share of the Big Ten title if Indiana would have lost to Iowa. If Indiana would have lost to, you know, we don't know. That game's still coming up against Maryland this upcoming weekend. Michigan State certainly still had a shot at it. And after Iowa fell, after Fran McCaffrey and his squad fell to Indiana 2 days ago, I'm sure that it left a bad taste in the mouths of the Spartans, specifically the seniors who want to go out on a high horse, who want to go out on a bang. Certainly. But am I buying that that's the reason why they came out slow against Rutgers? I don't know, man. I don't know. I think that's a cop-out more so because I would buy it if this was the first time that I've seen Michigan State come out slow against competition that they should be trouncing on. I would say if this was the first time, but this has happened multiple times throughout this year, folks. Michigan State has just come out really sluggish, like we're just kind of going through the motions. We know we're better than this team, so eventually we're going to turn on that light switch and it's going to be kaput. Lights out for this team, okay? We've seen this multiple times throughout this year, so to blame Michigan State's first half woes on Indiana winning the Big Ten championship, I don't know if I'm drinking that Kool-Aid. I don't know. I'm not that thirsty. I'm just not that thirsty, all right? But nonetheless, this is a Michigan State squad that pulled off the win. They beat Rutgers. Michigan State was who we thought they were in the second half, and they didn't let Rutgers off the hook, all right? They came out, blew them out just like they were supposed to. So now when it comes to the implications of what this win will do moving forward in the Big Ten season? Well, in my opinion, if Michigan State handles business against Ohio State, they win out. I think right now you're looking at Michigan State being no worse than a 2 seed in this upcoming, you know, Selection Sunday fiasco with discussing who which teams will make the NCAA tournament. I think Michigan State, if they win out and they beat Ohio State, I think they will be a 2 seed. Now, I think you will have to make some reevaluations. Let's say if they go out in the first round of the Big Ten tournament, but don't put too much weight on the Big Ten tournament. I don't know. I don't like the Big Ten tournament. I mean, it's fun. It's a fun spectacle. It's just there to feed, you know, the fandom that is college basketball. I mean, we want to get as much college basketball as we can, so why not have a conference tourney and then go right into the NCAA tourney? We can't get enough of basketball around this time of the year, right? It's there to feed the fandom. But as far as how much weight it should hold on what took place throughout the Big Ten season, you know, I don't think that it should hold that much weight. If Michigan State was to go out maybe in the first round, then okay, maybe you have to stare and look, okay, what happened here? You know what I mean? But if they get past the first round, they go to the second round and lose, I don't see Michigan State as lower than a 3 seed in the NCAA tourney, okay? So I don't know. I'm curious to get your thoughts on this. 517-355-9527. What'd you think of Michigan State's game last night? A poor first half, but a second half that showed this team can certainly go all the way. They have what it takes to go all the way. Again, they play Rutgers, though. I mean, Rutgers is horrible, but still. I mean, they did what they were supposed to do at the end of the day. What'd you think of last night's game? What do you think Michigan State should and are going to be ranked in this upcoming NCAA tourney? I'm curious. Call in. Let's talk bracketology. 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. I want to invite the man behind the glass, our fantastic engineer of WKAR's Current Sports. This is his final day on our airwaves engineering for Current Sports. But hold on. Just for a little over a week, okay? So don't panic. Yeah. Did you hear the screams coming through the airwaves, Isaac?
We got three calls going on right now.
In 2 seconds, we just
four,
got three calls.
Five.
No, he's going on spring break. A lot of people forget that you are a student, Isaac. So you're going to be going down to New Orleans. And then tomorrow we have Current Sports PA Brett Cass. He'll be engineering tomorrow, and then we'll have Drew Henderson in all of next week. But first off, Isaac, you got to go out with a bang, my man, not a whiff. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing great. I can't wait. Let's hit a home run. But, yeah, no, I think Michigan State last night, yeah, a little bit of a rocky start, tumultuous game for them. But you know what? The second half was so strong. And I think that's what you've got to take away. It's okay to come out with a little bit of lethargy. There's nothing wrong with that. Every team has their game this season. In fact, the first time Michigan State and Rutgers played, Michigan State didn't perform to their potential in the first half of that game either. That was a game on March 2nd, or no, today, yesterday was March 2nd. That was a game in February of this college basketball season. But anyway, Michigan State, the first game against Rutgers, they were only up 11 after the first half. And that was a little bit of a back-and-forth game anyway. So for Michigan State to come out stuttering, that's no big deal. The way they rebounded, though.
I disagree, though.
Really?
In March, in the NCAA tourney, you're playing much better competition than Rutgers, okay?
You are.
And if you come out in the first half and do that against a formidable team, man, it's gonna be tougher to dig yourself out of that hole.
But do you think you would come out like that against a formidable team?
You never know.
I think this might have just been the key case of the sleepers.
But exactly, the thing is, what Michigan said, again, it's all mental with them. Mentally, sometimes they check out, dude.
They do.
And that's gonna be a concern for me moving forward, because we've seen it happen more than a few times this season.
I haven't seen it against one of the really big, redoubtable teams, though, in the Big Ten.
Iowa.
We saw it against Iowa. I'm not sure if that was a sleeping game, though.
At the very beginning, MSU was asleep. At the very beginning of that second time they played them, it was like, whoa, what in the world is going on here? You know what I mean?
See, I think that's more the case at Kryptonite. I think Iowa's just perfectly matched up to destroy Michigan State.
I don't know. Your argument is Michigan State sometimes plays down in the competition, but it won't be
exactly
a worry once March Madness hits with the tourney.
Exactly.
I don't know. I think it is a concern, though. Now, I think Tom Izzo knows it's a concern, and it's the reason why he comes out and has these tirades on his seniors more so, specifically. I mean, we saw Izzo, and this is another quote in his article. I think Joe did a great job of highlighting this, but Izzo came out and was just on Denzel Valentine, like completely chewed him out, as he should have. as he should have. I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, Denzel Valentine, when you look at his numbers last night, well, 14 points, 8 assists, 8 rebounds. But he had an uncharacteristic 5 turnovers. I don't know the last time I've seen a number 5 in the turnover column for Denzel Valentine. It's been quite a while. And his shooting wasn't that great either. He was 6 of 17. Even though he had 14 points, he was 6 of 17 to do so. And, you know, Izzo went on to say, quote, he was upset. Anytime your best player on your team is playing like that, you have to be the right to be upset, I should say. And I wanted him to be upset. I mean, I didn't want him to be happy. That would lead me to believe that he would underachieve. So, yeah, he was mad, and he has a right to be. The poor kid, I can go back and say, okay, you're human. Now let's get back to work. And I know he will. That's the thing about Denzel. He has a short memory, even though he may start off slow. So there are a few things that you look at. Because I always say, when it comes down to winning championships, when it comes down to the postseason, it's about the little things. I'm just hoping these little things don't matriculate into big worries and big woes for this squad once March Madness officially hits.
Exactly. I mean, no, there were certainly signs of weaknesses, chinks in the armor, if you will, last night. And Rutgers exploited them in the first half. Ultimately, it was Michigan State's shooting that put this game to bed. 16 threes, one short of the franchise record, which was tied earlier this season also against Rutgers. Rutgers might need to look at that perimeter defense on a side note.
Oh, they're just a sorry – Rutgers is just a sorry case right now, dude. I mean, they're like, looking at
– 0-17 in the conference.
32 straight conference games they've lost? 32 straight conference games. Oh,
I was looking at their schedule, too. Last year, and it hasn't been any prettier this year, but at the end of every single season, you can just go down and draw a line across all of those games because those are the conference ones. Loss, 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 loss.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, they haven't won one.
Right. It's crazy, man. It's some stats that I found quite interesting in this game. The Spartans tied a school record, hitting 17 three-pointers in a 96-62 win against Rutgers. Coming to the game, they were leading the nation, making 43.3% from long range. Forbes leading the nation individually at 50%, excuse me. Unbelievable stuff there. Rutgers, after its hot shooting first half, the Scarlet Knights, they went on to shoot 8 of 28. 8 of 28. In the second half, and they were outscored 54-25. Rutgers will have a chance to snap that 32-game conference losing streak this Saturday as they will play host to Minnesota. Of course, Michigan State will play host to Ohio State that same day as well. But man, oh man. And the Scarlet Knights, they were a team. When you look at the stats, and I tweeted this out, with the thinking emoji, which has become my new favorite emoji, by the way. I love that thinking. You know, when you just looking up in the sky. Love that emoji.
So pensive.
Yeah. That's my favorite one. And then I like the little smirk too. It's kind of mysterious.
Oh, the smirk is fantastic. The wink with the tongue out as well.
That's
if you're
a good
trying
one.
To convey an emotion. Oh yeah. You know what I'm talking about.
That's I want to get wild. That's what that wink means. But anyway, when you look at I tweeted out with the thinking emoji that the Scarlet Knights, they shot 67% from the field in that first half. 67%. It was absolutely lights out. They were in a zone, but a lot of it had to do, again, with Michigan State more so than Rutgers, in my opinion. Let's hear our first break. When we come back, we will be chatting with motivational speaker and author DeAndre Carter. We haven't heard from DC in quite a long time, so looking forward to having him on our airwaves. That and more. Be a part of today's show. Call in 517-355-9527. You are listening to Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. And really briefly, I want to talk, we'll kind of give you guys an update on what some of the national pundits are saying as far as Michigan State seeding if the NCAA tournament was to start today. Well, I'm looking here at Patrick Stevens. He's a freelance reporter, and he has published an article in the Washington Post that has Michigan State actually listed in the East region as a number two seed that will take on either Hawaii or the winner of the Big West at the 15th seed. So, and that will take place if that would have come to fruition. He says that they will play out in Des Moines, Iowa. Oh, that's an exotic location, right? Des Moines, Iowa, though. Michigan State versus the winner of the Big West Conference champion and Hawaii. That's how he has it. And then he goes on to say about the regional breakdown in the East. Quote, you could argue against Wagner getting to remain in New York, but how much of a home court advantage that would be? So he just goes on to talk about Wagner, and then he talks about Iowa's down to a number five seed. He believes Iowa's of number five seed if the Big Ten, if the NCAA tournament was to start today. And then he talks about how those sweeps of Michigan State and Purdue are nice, but the Hawkeyes' current four-game skid counts too. Then I find this particularly interesting. He says that in his overall bracket, he does include Michigan, Vandy also, Virginia Commonwealth, and Butler in his bracket. And a few teams that missed the cut, Tulsa, George Washington, Florida. So very interesting list here. Michigan, though, I just believe that I don't know if John Beilein's team has done enough this year. They don't have those marquee wins that you can point at and say, hey, look at this one. This win looks sexy. They just don't. I think they would. They have to beat Iowa, in my opinion, this Saturday night. And then they have to have a solid showing in the Big Ten tournament in order for this Michigan Wolverine team to step into NCAA bracketology. I just don't see it right now, though. They're not in my opinion. They're not in if the season was to end today. Isaac, what do you think about that?
I agree 100%. Because the other thing I think about is this is a money-making business, just like with the bowl system.
Right,
so
right.
They don't want to include anybody who's not going to have the most fan appeal. And Michigan right now, with Caris LeVert out, what do they have to offer? What's the upset that they're going to bring? What's the intrigue to all of the national viewers who are going to be like, oh, I want to see Michigan? They've seen Michigan in a good conference. They've done it about as well as you expect, beating the bad teams, losing to the good teams. You know what you're going to get. I think the tourney would rather pick somebody who's a little bit of a wild card, such as a Butler, like an underdog, or an LSU with Ben Simmons, over Michigan, who's
kind of been predictable. Is your boy Ben going to make it, you think?
I don't think he will. But I think that makes more sense than a Michigan insertion.
Yeah, I do as well. And again, Michigan playing Iowa this weekend, how sexy does that win look now that Iowa has lost its past four games? So I don't know how sexy
that
looks.
Assuming a win.
And I tell you what, I know many Spartan fans out there are hoping on their knees, praying that Michigan State and Iowa meet again in the Big Ten tourney. They want revenge, because looking at how this squad looked when they played Michigan State at the very beginning of the year and looking at how they look now, two totally different teams. I think Michigan State can certainly win against Iowa now. I don't know what happened.
It would be interesting.
They ran out of Michael's secret stuff at halftime or one of the games or something like that.
Man's secret formula, something like that. Yeah.
Right, exactly. All right, let's get to our guest for today's current sports. I'm certainly excited to have him on today's show, because we have not heard his voice on our airwaves in quite some time. He is a busy man. I've been trying to get him on, but he's been flying everywhere from Japan to Tokyo, all right? It's crazy. But we finally fitted him in into our schedule here. His name is DeAndre Carter, motivational speaker and author. DC, what's up, brother?
How's it going, Al? I'm doing great. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you loud and clear. First off, I got to ask, what in the world have you been up to, dude? You have been everywhere, man.
Man, I'm excited. We've got a lot of things going on our end. As far as getting the book released, I've got a launch date coming up here soon. Had to revamp the entire project, but it's been fantastic, because it is going to open up the marketing for us to be able to get into more places. We've got bulk orders coming in for local as well as statewide and soon national orders for the book to come in, because we've designed it now to be more like a program. So we didn't just want to create a small book, we wanted to create a big movement. So that's been fantastic.
Oh, man, we're definitely going to dive into that wonderful piece of work in just a second. But you know what, DC, you know, I don't think I've ever asked you this. You know, the many times we've had you on our airwaves and talked about the work you do. I mean, you talk to everybody. I mean, you know, local, you know, organizations that need some moxie, need some motivation moving forward. You talk to athletic teams, of course, and many people, you know, trying to spark some inspiration into their respective lives. But I got to ask DC, what motivates you, my friend?
What motivates me is the opportunity to be better than I was yesterday. I am constantly intrigued about what I can do and what I can't do and how I can grow. And that's what excites me. So I'm always looking to see, you know, push the horizon, see if I can be a little bit better. And that's what pushes me to look for new avenues. And I love studying other great people. And that only inspires me even further because I love to look in all realms of life, whether it's politics, entertainment, sports. I'm looking for who's the great, what are they doing, and how I can turn around and apply those lessons to my life and become a little bit better than I was yesterday.
DC, you're such a fantastic motivational speaker, and I believe, to give us a quick recap of what took place during the Toastmasters competition, which is a speech competition, didn't you get all the way to, like, the finals?
I got all the way to the semifinals. It'd be the equivalent of the Final Four. You know, it's March Madness, so that's the best example that I can give. It's Toastmasters International does this every year, and this year is coming up, where 30,000 people apply and enter themselves into this contest looking to hold that one spot. And I was able to make it through the first four rounds and get into the top 90 in the world. So that puts me in the top 1% of all speakers within Toastmasters. And representing the state of Michigan, it was fantastic. Got all the way to the Final Four, and in a few weeks here, I'll be looking to put my name in again and make another run at it.
Absolutely remarkable stuff. And for you, DC, when you first got into the motivational speaking business, so to speak, I mean, who were some of your mentors coming up?
Oh, definitely. My mentors would have to start off with Les Brown. He was the first motivational speaker I ever heard, and it was just fantastic. He had a tape, I'll never forget, it was called It's Hard. But he's just talking about life is hard, but so that means you got to do it hard. Next, I went on to start listening to Zig Ziglar, and I always joked that if Les Brown and Zig Ziglar had a baby in the late 90s, it would have been me because I was quoting all of their work, just learning from those two guys. But currently, Tony Robbins is probably my favorite, but a guy named Eric Thomas, he's known as E.T. the Hip Hop Preacher. He was the first person I saw live really do the motivational speaking at the caliber or level that I wanted to do it. And so I was able to connect with him and learn from him over the years. So that would be my Mount Rushmore right there. Les Brown, Zig Ziglar, Eric Thomas, and Anthony Robbins.
You know, it's so remarkable. Looking back at my college career, I had the pleasure of having not only yourself, DeAndre, as a mentor of mine coming up, but also of having a mentorship of Eric Thomas as well. And Eric Thomas has done some great stuff. I've seen him do promo videos for the MSU men's basketball team, everywhere from that to talking to the Cleveland Cavaliers, countless NFL and NBA teams. It's really remarkable to see how his career has taken off. What kind of advice have you gotten from Eric Thomas about your road in this game, DC?
The biggest piece of advice I got was within the first year or two when we met, and he's a living embodiment of this piece of advice. He said, no matter what you do, keep doing you. He said, if you just keep doing this thing, people will look up 2 years from now and say, oh, he's still doing the speaking. They'll look up 5 years from now. He's still out motivating. They'll look up 10 years from now, and you'll gain a traction that will create momentum that can't be stopped. And so, again, I met Eric Thomas in 1996. The world met him somewhere around 2010 or 2008, somewhere in that area. The point is that he's been doing this for a very long time, and that advice that he passed along to me was advice that he was living, and since then, advice that I've been living as well.
Very remarkable stuff. I remember actually talking to Denzel Valentine after the Michigan State and Michigan game, Michigan State blowing out John Beilein's team, and I talked with Denzel, and I'm saying, man, what made you guys want to come out and just kind of stomp on the throat of the Wolverines? And lo and behold, Denzel Valentine said, you know what, Eric Thomas sent us all a text last night, and it just kind of all motivated us. I mean, this speaks to his traction, and also, I mean, DC, you are certainly building quite the following. And I got to ask, because, you know, you yourself and other cats in the game, you know, I'm sure you get a lot of requests from athletic teams to come out and motivate respective squads. What kind of requests do you get from athletic teams that you don't get from your normal speaking engagement?
Well, the main thing is that athletes are wired differently, in the sense that athletes are very competitive people, and your performance is evaluated much more frequently as an athlete than in your typical work environment. And so the thing about working with athletes and the requests you get is that it is more urgent that you apply the lessons immediately. So a lot of times, if you look in business, you know, we're in business, a lot of times the growth is measured by the quarter. But that's 3 months. That's 90 days. In sports, growth is measured by the minute. You know, you can't right. let them go on that 8-0 run. You're measuring each half. I just read an article today that, you know, Kobe Bryant studies film of games from the first half during halftime. That's how quickly he's looking for feedback. You know, in football, they're on the sidelines with iPads looking at the actual plays that just took place 2 minutes ago. So the urgency of improving yourself in sports is so much higher than in other areas that it requires more focus, more discipline, and more dedication. And you're doing so with all the eyes of the world looking on.
And you know, DC, what's so remarkable about, you know, when you go out and talk to teams and different athletes and players is that isn't there a direct line that can be drawn from when you're talking to those athletes to the world, that line drawn directly into the world of sports psychology? I mean, you're kind of like a sports psychologist. Is that fair to say?
There are some similarities. I haven't studied enough to hold that title, but I've always been fascinated with athletics and sports in the way that it can be applied to everyday life, because I see a lot of parallels. And so when I look at a guy like Stephen Curry, he's taking the NBA by storm, the thing that I look at is that by conventional wisdom, Steph is not supposed to be considered one of the best players in the game. You know, it's not the guy who's taken seventh from a small school who's standing at 6'3", whose scouting report says, you know, we worry about his ball handling. He may be a one-dimensional player. He could never lead a franchise to a title. These are the things that people said about Steph coming out of the draft. And when you look at it in life, you know, it's not published, but we all have scouting reports called other people's opinions. They say what you can't do, what you're capable of, the heights you can't reach. But the thing about that's awesome about sports and in life is that the final equation can't be determined without your input. You get an opportunity through your work ethic, through your attitude, through your belief, to put your say-so in it. And like Steph Curry, if you put in the work and improve your craft to a certain level, it becomes undeniable that you are who you've decided to be.
DeAndre Carter, motivational speaker and author of Demand Greatness, Success is Yours. And, you know, kind of a great segue into my next subject here, Steph Curry. I know we chat via text, you know, here and there about what Steph is doing in the NBA world. And I know that just like my jaw, yours has been on the floor as well, watching what he is doing this year. He's gotten better. Every single year he's been in the NBA, and this year he's just breaking records on the daily. How do you put in perspective what Steph Curry is doing here, and can he keep this up, DC?
Well, I think he can keep it up because he's ahead of the curve. The game has changed in ways that really feed into the skill set of Steph Curry, the ball handling, the shooting ability, the shooting range. He's redefining how defenses approach the game because he's stretching the floor further than most people are accustomed to defending. You know, even on his game-winning shot, which I watched the fourth quarter in overtime against the Thunder here, where he hit the miraculous, well, can't even call it miraculous. It was miraculous for all other players, not named Steph Curry. But, you
right,
know,
right.
But when I'm watching the game, it's amazing when people say things like, oh, you should just get up on him, as if he can't dribble around you. Or he can't find an open a shooter because of his passing ability. So the thing that's awesome about Steph is that he studied what he needs to do. He's improved his ball handling. His ball handling drills are incredible. He's improved his shooting range. You know, I was joking with someone. I work with the Lansing Boys and Girls Club here, and one of the organizers were joking about Steph that, you know, he can shoot it from the locker room. And I thought he was exaggerating, but then I thought about his three-game ritual where he shoots from the tunnel. And he
exactly.
actually makes shots from the tunnel. I was like, well, Steph probably can shoot from the locker room. I mean, he's really defining everything. And so when people say, why don't you get up on him? You haven't seen this before. You haven't seen a guy who decides to pull up with 3 seconds on the clock from 35 feet and nail the game winner from there instead of getting closer. So he's really redefining some of our beliefs about sports. And that's why some of our old-time NBA greats are having a bit of difficulty accepting what's happening right now.
Yeah, DC, you must be looking at my script because that's the next question I have for you. Oscar Robertson, he had some choice words to say when it came to what Steph Curry is doing in today's game. The 77-year-old Big O said during a phone interview on ESPN's Mike and Mike show, quote, "If I've got a guy who's great shooting the ball outside, don't you want to extend your defense out a little bit? I just don't think coaches today in basketball understand the game of basketball." You know, DC, does the Big O kind of sound like an old-timer, just salty, things used to be like this, they're not, he wouldn't survive in our game back in the day? Does he sound just a bit like a cranky old man with that comment?
Absolutely, in my opinion, I think he sounds like that because, but it's not brand new. I remember hearing the words of people talking about Michael Jordan, and the belief back in that era of basketball is that you can either be the leading scorer in the league, or you can be a champion and sacrifice your stats so that you can make your other teammates better and get a championship. And Michael broke the mold. Michael decided, you know what? I'm going to lead the league in scoring, and I'm going to win the titles. So he broke a philosophy that was long held within the sport that you have to do it a certain way. And I think that's what's happening here with Steph as well, is that he's breaking the mold of what people think can or can't be done, or what you should or shouldn't be able to do. And he's doing it in a way that really is going to redefine how we view other players. You're going to have other players, you know, changing how they prepare to play the game. And so I think what's happening is when you're seeing something you haven't seen before, you're using old philosophies to try to evaluate it, when the truth is we got to look at it with a brand new perspective. Because I remember clear as day that, you know, the thought was, if you're a superstar player, you have to sacrifice your points to improve your team and win a championship. But Jordan stared in the face of that and said, I'm still scoring 30 and I'm going to win. And he did it. And we since then haven't had that same thought pattern or belief.
That is so true. All right, DC, I want to briefly talk about Michigan State hoops before we get back to your book. Again, Demand Greatness, Success is Yours. What do you foresee this year for the Michigan State hoop team? How far can you see them going?
I see another successful run. A thing I love about what Coach Izzo does with the program is he puts them through adversity during the early and mid part of the season so that they can learn and grow from it. And then when it's time to shape up and march into the greatness of the tournament, they're prepared. Again, MSU was on a run, I think, but we've got 6 out of the last 7 games that we put in the win column. You've got Forbes hot from the outside, Valentine playing all around great basketball, and it's that confidence you need going into the tournament. So I want to say that I could easily see another Final Four run this year. And once you get to the Final Four, anything is possible because you're in winning position. So that's what I see for the team this year, because I think that they've really put some things together. They started out really high in the rankings. They ran into some trouble, and now they're back in the top. I believe they're ranked number 2 in the country. So that adversity teaches you lessons that you're going to need going into the tournament.
Is Denzel your National Player of the Year, DC?
He's got my vote. I mean, I know he ran into the injuries during the season, but he's shown his versatility. He's shown improvement in his game. He developed the outside shot. He makes his other teammates better. And his leadership ability is among the best in the country. And I think when you put that total package together, you can't look at that award without thinking about a guy like Denzel.
All right. All right, DC, before we get you out of here, again, Demand Greatness, Success is Yours. Again, when's the release date? And also, when's your next speaking engagement for those that haven't seen what you do?
Well, I've got a couple of events coming up here. There's a summit on Black males within the college environment at Michigan State on March 19th. That's going to be held an all-day event from 8 to 6. Also doing some work for the state of Michigan. Down in Dearborn, they have a business conference where I have 400 business owners and high-ranking executives within their companies in attendance, and I'll be doing the keynote for that event. So that's March 21st. So what we're doing is I'm revamping my website, which is DeAndreCarter.com. And once that is up and loaded again, have to do some upgrades and some updates. We'll be getting all that out. And when we release the book, we're looking at second week of March here. I'll make sure to put a copy in your hand so you'll be able to see exactly what it looks like. And that date is going to be determined within the next few days or so, because we have to do the editing and the production and then lay it out for the print. But very excited about what's about to happen.
Absolutely fantastic. And when that book drops, you will certainly be on Current Sports TV, brother. We definitely have to talk about that book. I'm looking forward to reading it.
Oh, yeah, let's make that happen.
Without a doubt. My man, DeAndre Carter, motivational speaker and author of Demand Greatness, Success is Yours. DC, have a fantastic afternoon, and thanks for your time. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Al. You're the man. Make it a great one.
Hey, you know it. You know it. Listen to our second break. When we come back, we put a bow on today's show with Throwback Thursday. And, hey, Jason Ruff, 2 minutes for roughing. Yeah, that and more. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Current Sports. All right, two quick updates for you on today's WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, again. The Detroit Tigers right now is the top of the second. The Tigers lead the Atlanta Braves 2-1. And the Michigan Wolverines women's basketball team has been eliminated from the Big Ten women's basketball tournament. They fall to Iowa 97-85, your final there. All right, let's talk hockey. He has just entered Studio S here. His name is Jason Ruff. He is a hockey nut, to say the least, all right? And we love to dub this segment, cleverly, 2 minutes for roughing. Here we go.
Detroit penalty number 52, 2 minutes for roughing.
Oh, my God. That's unbelievable.
All right, he's into his house. Jason Ruff, first off, my man, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing good, Al. You know, you crack me up every single time with your introductions. Always keeping it fresh, man.
You got to keep it fun, right? It's sports, right?
Of course. Of course.
All right, Jason, what you got for us today?
Well, Michigan State taking on the Minnesota Golden Gophers in college hockey. Spartans coming off their bye week, as well as getting the double dub a couple weeks ago at Wisconsin. Be interesting to see if they can carry that momentum over the off week. Tom Anastas, not too concerned about that. Says the team's been doing great in practice over the past week. Allowed his team to heal up, get ready. So it should be an interesting series. Meanwhile, Michigan playing a home-and-home series with the Ohio State Buckeyes. I think there's going to be some bad blood in that series. Al, I don't know if you watched the Michigan-Ohio State series earlier in the season, but towards the end, man.
There was a fight, right?
There was a fight. Multiple suspensions on both sides. I'm going to be watching that. I'm interested to see how that one turns out. Some bad blood going in there.
I didn't see the game, but I saw the fight.
Everyone saw the fight.
Yeah.
That's why you watch this.
Did you see the fight, Isaac?
Yeah, of course.
Oh, it was crazy. Now, Jason, what are the end-of-the-year implications for both the Michigan Wolverines and Michigan State Spartans? I know they play Minnesota. Michigan State does this weekend. Michigan play Ohio State, like you just mentioned. But as far as the postseason goes for both of these teams, what do you foresee here?
Well, Michigan is 1 point down to Minnesota, and Michigan has the harder schedule. They have Ohio State this weekend. They have Penn State the next weekend. They're hoping Minnesota slips up, so their future is not in their hands, but they have to win out or at least do better in Minnesota down the stretch run. So they're battling for first and second. But Michigan, I think, is going to get that first round bye in the Big Ten tournament. I think they're going to hold on to second place.
Okay, let's go to Wings.
The Wings fell to the Chicago Blackhawks in ugly fashion, 5-2. The Red Wings had plenty of chances to score goals and make this a close game, but they just could not get the bounces they faced. It also didn't help they were taking on the best team in the Western Conference, hands down, the Chicago Blackhawks. I mean,
no bias there, right, when you say that?
No bias. They are that good. They are that good.
If you don't know, Jason is from Chicago, though. But yeah, they are that good. Dynasty.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And also some international news. The World Cup of Hockey rosters has been announced, and plenty of Red Wings on that one. For Team Czech Republic, we got Peter Mrazek, the goaltender. Team Europe, Thomas Tatar. North America, the U21s, Dylan Larkin repping that squad. Team Russia, Pavel Datsyuk. That was a given. Sweden, Henrik Zetterberg and Nicholas Cronwell. Of course, for good old Team USA, the Michigan State alum, Justin Abdelkader. And one more thing about Michigan State hockey. I think they're in a battle with Ohio State for fourth and fifth place, respectively, so down the stretch run. So it'll be interesting to see how that one plays out towards the end of the season. And remember, Michigan State plays Ohio State their last weekend of the series, or the season, I should say, next weekend.
Wow. Gotta love that. Now, are you rocking the mic for any of those broadcasts as we come down the home stretch for Michigan State?
Unfortunately not, my
okay,
friend.
Okay, so it's packed in the books now. Yeah. But you did a great job this year, Jason. Got a chance to hear you a few times throughout the year. And also, quick update on the World Cup of Hockey rosters being announced. When is that? What date is that? Do you know?
I'm not 100% sure at this moment, but I think it's going to be sometime next year, maybe?
Next year. Okay, so not this year. Okay, we'll double check.
I'll have to double check that.
Okay, gotcha. All right, well, again, 2 minutes for Roughing with Jason Ruff. Jason, fantastic job as always, my friend.
Thank you.
All right, 3 minutes left. It's Thursday. Throwback Thursday time.
But the Detroit Pistons have just shocked the Los Angeles Lakers.
Wing, there's a drive to left. That one is long.
Eisenman back over his stick. Into the spot for Brown. Shoots. Yes. And there it goes. You never know when to expect it. Darren McCarty said before.
So what exactly happened on this particular date in sports? It's Throwback Thursday. Today being March 3rd. Well, on this day back in 1875, get this. Jason will appreciate this one. The first recorded hockey game was played in Montreal. Gotta love that. 1875, that took place on today's date. 1920, the Quebec Bulldogs beat the Montreal Canadiens. Get this, 16-3. Oh, that was a trouncing. In 1974, George Foreman knocked out Ken Norton. 1982, Wayne Gretzky of the Edmonton Oilers scored his 77th, 78th, and 79th goals of the season. That's insane in the membrane. In 1992, Mike Bossy's number two became the second number retired by the New York Islanders. In 1998, Larry Doby became the first black player, I should say, in the American League to be elected to the Baseball Hall of Fame. Also, in 2001, John Ruiz became the first Hispanic heavyweight champion. He beat Evander Holyfield for the WBA heavyweight title. In 2002, the Dallas Stars set an NHL record with their 48th straight win when leading after two periods. The streak started on November 11th of 2000. Also, and Jason is giving his update on the World Cup of Hockey. That will be this year then, Jason. Okay, thank you. So that's going to take place this year. And also, last but not least, in Throwback Thursday 2006, in Tokyo, Japan, the opener of the World Baseball Classic took place. An eventful day in sports history for this March 3rd. Well, I want to give a special shout-out and thank you to all of you out there for listening to today's Current Sports. Thank you to Jason Ruff, DeAndre Carter, Isaac Constance, Brett Cass, Connor Hayes. Great job from the entire team. We'll be back at it tomorrow with engineer Brett Cass filling in for Isaac. Isaac goes on spring break. Final words, Isaac.
Good afternoon, people. I don't know. You caught me off guard. But have a great spring break, yeah, everybody.
I definitely caught you off guard there. But, yeah, we bid you adieu. Have a good time. All right, soak up the sun, Isaac. Thanks so much, folks. You have been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, right here on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. Be easy, people.